Happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, turning our attention now to eyewear with Jim LaLuzerne, who is retired from a 45-year career during which he was CEO of five different optical-related companies, president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world, inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame, somebody who keeps up on what's going on with eyewear, eyeglasses, and he's been a regular on our show now for a while, and it's always a great experience to have him with us. You may have some questions about your eyewear. Do you wear glasses? How often do you check to see if you need a different prescription? Who do you trust to take care of your eyeglass needs? Those are some things we can talk about, and of course a whole lot more. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. Jim's with us by phone. Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Hello, Larry. It's nice to be here.
Tell you what, let's talk about those. There's a new anti-fog treatment for eyeglass lenses. And can you talk about I'm sure you know about it. What's it designed to help with?
Well, it's really a nice product to finally have something that works. I know 30, 40 years ago, it was a very, very common problem, particularly for people on the job that would be going in and out from, cold outside to a warm inside. Maybe somebody that worked in a company that had steam or a lot of moisture in the air, their lenses would fog up. And there really has not been, in a prescription eyeglass, anything that really solved that problem. There was some, if you had a goggle that was not a non-prescription goggle, there was a couple coatings that worked pretty good on those, but those coatings were not able to be put onto a prescription eyeglass. And over the years, there have been liquids that are put on the lens, and it does help some, but they were not very durable and they didn't work that great. And this new process has done something different. Actually, it's a two-part process. One, when your glasses are made, you can have a coating put on, and that coating is permanent and it attaches to the outside of the lens. You can't see it.
Good.
But when you and then there's an activator, which is actually a liquid that you get in a little squirt bottle, and you put a drop or two on the lens and wipe it on the surface, and then that activates that. Those two work in combination. And for most people, you can get maybe a week between times of having to put those drops on. And it really does a great job. It's surprising how well it works. And particularly people in an occupational need. Again, I mentioned, somebody going in and outdoors, but I know that a lot of medical workers, when they wear a face mask, the exhaust of their nose goes up underneath the face mask and can fog up their glasses. And I'm sure that everybody's got their own little story, but there's a lot of need for this kind of a thing. And it's nice to know that they finally have a product that can do this.
Yeah.
It can be put on just about any prescription and just about, I shouldn't say just about any, on a lot of different lens materials, more common ones. And the underlying coating is permanent, and then you have to rejuvenate it every week or so with this material.
Yeah.
But it does work. It's nice to know that we can fill that need. One of the questions I had all the time years ago when I was in the business, is there anything that works? And I had to say, not really. And now I can say, yes, there is.
Well, that's great. And I suppose it can't really be added to existing glasses.
To my knowledge, there's no way that they can add it to the existing lens. It's part of a whole process that has to be done when the lenses are made. It's a complicated procedure. It's done in a vacuum chamber, and it needs to be done on the lens before it's ground or finished.
It's finished, is it expensive? How expensive is it?
For the average prescription, I think that somewhere between $30 and $50, depending on the particular material that you have and the prescription of the glasses and things like that. So it's somewhat in that area. So It's not inexpensive, but if you need it, it's probably very well worth it.
Well, I would think it'd be worth $30 to $50 for somebody coming in and out.
Yes.
A lot. Boy, it would certainly be something I would consider.
Yes.
You can join in with your questions or comments. Talking today with Jim LaLuzerne about prescription eyewear. We're just visiting with him about anti-fog coating for lenses, but there are other things we can talk about with him as well, and certainly you're welcome to join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I want to go back to sort of the beginning. If someone's looking at needing prescription glasses and they haven't, I can remember back when I first had to go for glasses. What do you have to keep in mind? If you're looking at needing prescription glasses for the first time, what should you keep in mind?
Well, there's a couple things that I like to tell people. When you go for an eye exam, there's actually two parts to that eye examination. The actual exam that the doctor does, and within that exam, there's part where they are checking your prescription to see what it will take to help you see better. They also are checking your eye health. And that eye health thing is important for people, even if they don't think they need glasses. Somebody needs to look in there, and there's a lot of things that can happen, bad things that can happen, and that they can be checked for and that can be found out about. So an eye examination is eye health, probably most important. And then they actually, from there, they have to check to see what lenses can be put in front of the eye in order to help somebody see properly. Once that prescription is done, then that person has to go to a dispenser to have that prescription filled. Now, you can do that at the same. Most of the doctors that do eye examinations have on-site a place where you can do that. But you could also take the prescription and go some other place if you choose. And that's, you know, a lot. It's fairly common that people will go to some other place. Then the person takes that prescription, and you have to remember that that prescription, unlike a pharmaceutical where it's written and it's an exact requirement by the FDA that it's filled exactly this way, a pair of glasses can be filled a lot of different ways. You can have a wide variety of frames. You can have, for example, if you need bifocals, you could get a pair of bifocals. You could get a pair of progressive lenses. You could also get two pair of glasses, one for reading and one for distance. And those lenses can be adjusted and fit and put in a lot of different places. So the person that's actually doing the dispensing becomes a very critical part of the whole process. And so it's a combination of what the doctor writes down and then what the dispenser interprets that and helps get a pair of glasses for you. And while some people think it's very simple, in many cases it is, because people have a simple prescription and it can be filled simply. But there's a number of people that have complications or can't be fit very well, and that can become very sophisticated. And if your vision is real critical to you, there can be problems if it's not managed correctly. And one of the things I smile about when people talk to me is a lot of people have been living with rather okay glasses, and then they get a high-definition television.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they say, if I got this fancy television, I better get a pair of glasses that can help me see it properly. So.
There you go. Michelle in Beaver Dam has a question for you. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, I just had a question about the fog lenses that you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
And about how they need a special cleaner. And I was just wondering if you put those special drops on once a week and then continue using your regular cleaner?
No. When this is used, you can't put water on the lens. It will wash off this stuff that you put on. So they have a cloth, or you wipe it. But you don't, you know, if you got dust and dirt on it, you wipe it off. But if you flush it with water, you will flush off most of that stuff, and then you'll have to reapply it.
Okay.
So
okay.
It is. You know, I don't want to minimize the fact that there is a maintenance that goes on with this, And, you know, if you're not worried about, you know, let's say, for example, that you had a pair of these and it only needed them in the winter, it wouldn't be any issue in the summer. You wouldn't have the anti-fog properties in the summer because you weren't putting this solution on, but it wouldn't hurt anything. In the wintertime, when you were in a situation where you needed it, then you would put this liquid on and activate the anti-fog properties.
Hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. Jerry in Stockbridge, hello to you.
Yeah, I've got a few questions and probably a statement. But these days, no matter where you go, you talk to whether it's a chain or individual optometrists that have their own practice, you cannot, you get the same pat speech extolling the virtues of polycarbonate lenses. And the fact is, they're not superior. They're not superior optically. The clarity, light transmission, they have nowhere near the wear resistance, the scratch resistance, nowhere near the hardness. The fact that every microscope, telescope, camera lens, transit, even the optical equipment in the optometrist's own office, none of any quality ever used plastic lenses. They only used glass. And I'm getting very tired of spending a lot of money for plastic with the only alternative to buy and have to wait for very expensive and much heavier safety glass lenses. You know, instead of you're stuck or forced to use this polycarbonate, and like you just got through talking about this maintenance program, and well, you have to or should use Crisal coating, you know, and that, which I've had several times, in fact, and found completely unacceptable.
Already.
Why can't we just go back to glass?
Well, I lived through the era of glass-only lenses. I lived through the era of people breaking their glasses repeatedly and people having eye injuries from glass. And the weight of glass is at least twice as much as it is for plastic lenses, if not more, which is a very serious issue for a lot of people wearing a heavy pair of glasses. So I don't think there's any chance that the marketplace is going to accept going backwards to glass lenses and accept the heavy weight and the safety issue that has been virtually eliminated by lenses like polycarbonate lenses. Mm. So I don't think it's going to go backwards to it. I think that you can still get glass lenses if you absolutely insist. Most doctors don't want to because of the safety issue.
And we'll talk some more about it with Jim Lalouzer. And stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Many of us share one experience, and that is wearing glasses. And when we depend on our specs, not just for comfort, but for safety as well, you want to make sure you can see well when you really need to. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Whether it's to help you see items up close or to spot things in the distance, having the correct prescription eyewear is really important. And my guest today has spent decades in the eyeglass industry, and he's here to help us out. Jim Lalouzer is happy to answer your questions when you call in at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And I hope you'll go to my Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show and click like while you're there, and we'll send you out regular updates on our shows. Hope we'll see you back there right after this look at the news. Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Just wanted to mention in early July, I'll be leading a group of Wisconsin Public Radio listeners to London to tour English gardens and attend the Hampton Court Flower Show. We'll visit some of the England's great churches and houses along with their gardens. I know we're going to see a lot of cathedrals at Leeds and Canterbury. We'll visit the White Garden at Sackville West, Bateman's House. A whole bunch of places to see, and of course, the Hampton Court Flower Show. It's the world's largest, run by the Royal Horticultural Society. Those are just a few of the highlights. July 1st through the 9th, we're partnering with Earthbound Expeditions. a great group of people. They worked with us when we had our festive Winter Waltz tour of Budapest and Vienna and Prague last year. So really great time, and I know I'm going to have a lot of fun. I hope you join us. Just go to WPR.org/travel if you want to learn more about the specifics, costs, and all that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope you can make it. And if your eyeglasses are in really good shape, your eyewear is in really good shape, you're going to enjoy it a whole lot more when you come with me to England. And that's what we're talking about right now with our guest. How's that for a segue? Jim LaLuzerne, who is an optics specialist with us today, and he's kind of regular on the show. We've been talking about a variety of things with him relating to glasses, and I hope you'll join in. For sure, listen in as we visit with him. And Joe in Washburn has been waiting a while, so I want to go there now. Joe, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. I'm a 36-year veteran technology ed teacher, and I have a comment, but then I have a question. For all of my years in teaching, my kids had to wear safety glasses, and so did I in the tech ed lab. And I was in that transition period from glass to polycarbonate, and I can tell you, you know, the only problem that I had, well, two problems, of course, like that gentleman said, glass didn't scratch as easily as the polycarbonate, but the polycarbonates were lighter. Glass did not attract dust as much as polycarbonate, and I found my kids, you know, taking off their glasses to clean them. But as soon as I got some of this anti-static cleaner, it really worked out well. And then I always did the experiment where I had all these extra lenses to put in kids' glasses. And I used to do a little demonstration in the shop where I put a glass lens down in a polycarbonate, and I made sure everybody had their safety glasses on. And all you do is tap that glass, that tempered glass lens with a hammer, and it just shatters into a million pieces. But that polycarbonate lens, you could hammer that thing with a sledgehammer, put it in a vise, bend it in half, and it would take the best kid in your class about 5 minutes to break it in half. So that's a testament to polycarbonate. But my question today, I am an avid motorcyclist, and I wear progressive bifocal lenses. They are transition lenses from light to dark. I really like that anti-fog thing. That can help me a lot. But when you ride a motorcycle, you want a pair of glasses that are rounded so you have good peripheral vision. You want a pair of glasses that has a frame that has like a cushion on it so that it fits tight up against your facial bones around your eye so that wind doesn't come up underneath the glasses. And I had a pair of glasses made, and most of the people that are making glasses of this type say that those rounded type lenses that give you that good peripheral vision are very difficult to set up with those progressive bifocals. Can you give me some help on where a person can go to have a pair of glasses like this constructed?
I'm not quite. First of all, thank you for the testimony about the polycarbonate lenses. I completely concur with that. I'm not sure what. I'd like you to explain the shape of the frame different. I'm not quite sure I understand what you're referring to when you say rounded.
Are you talking about a wraparound?
Yes. Yes, I am. Kind of a wraparound that would come so that if that deer is coming from the side that you don't have I think it's called a temple on your glasses there in the way, so you've got good peripheral vision to see from the side.
Okay, now I understand it. Thank you for that. The wraparound requires a lens that has a real steep base curve, or a high base curve, so the lens can literally wrap around the side, and that interferes with the optics of most lenses. So it is very optically difficult to make a lens that wraps around, and that's why you just don't see frames like that. You see it a lot in non-prescription lenses. But to see it in a prescription lens, it's very difficult. There are a few frames that are made that the lens itself really doesn't wrap around, but the frame tends to wrap around, and some actually have a little window or a little piece of glass on the side that you can see through, or at least see some movement through there. They wouldn't have your prescription in it, but you would be able to see some movement in the side. They're not real common because a lot of people don't buy them, but I know that some places might have a catalog that they could help you find one like that. But to get an actual frame with all that prescription and get it in a true wraparound, that's a real difficult thing, if not impossible thing to do.
Oh. Okay. All right, thanks. Sorry, Joe. Maybe someday, you know, maybe someday. Sarah in Madison. Hi.
Hi. I would also like to say that I adore polycarbonate lenses. I have a really strong prescription. So back when they were invented and we went from Coke bottles to something that would stay up on my nose, I was thrilled.
Thank you.
My question is related to that because I go in, every time I go in, they try and sell me the most expensive, lightest weight material, and I am delighted to be able to invest in that. And then they go to actually order the thing and say, oh, that's not available in your prescription. I'm wondering, is that a technological reason why certain blanks are not available for really strong prescriptions or economic or what's going on there?
Well,
I'd be thrilled to pay the extra $100, but they can't sell it to me, and we're all disappointed.
I would need to know a little bit more detail about your exact prescription and what it is that you're trying to get. I do know that in every lens design, there is a limit to the number of lens blanks that they start off with. Literally, maybe in a particular type of progressive lens, for example, they might have 8 or 12 different base curves to start with, and then within each one of those, there's a different powers that they have. And so the total number of line items might be in the hundreds, but there is a finite limit. Once that's done, then the inside curves have to be ground on, and the combinations come into the billions. You know, I mean, it's really complex at that point. But I don't, you know, like I said, I'd really need to have more information to figure out why your particular one isn't available in that. I've seen some very, very complex, high-powered prescriptions made in just about every type of lens design and material, so it's hard for me to understand what you can't get.
I'm nearsighted. It's around 6 opters. It's a progressive bifocal, and this isn't just once. It happens almost every time I go in to get new glasses.
Yeah, well, 6 diopters.
They're all excited.
Yeah,
6 diopters of minus power, if there's not something else going on, isn't that extreme. It's in the higher end, but it's certainly not an extreme. And I made thousands and thousands of lenses in the 6 diopter range in progressive lenses, so I'm just not quite sure what it is that still, you know.
What's keeping them?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, if
it's
you're
unsolved mystery.
Yeah, if you're, you know, if you're confident in the dispenser that you're working with, and they tell you that, it's probably accurate. If it's if you're not real confident in it, maybe they just don't have it. Maybe a competitor might have it, so it might be worth checking with someone else to see if they could help you. Mm-hmm. Some places, cater to the simple work, and when things get more complicated, they kind of want to push you out the door and let somebody else handle that. So it might be worth looking further.
Good luck. Thank you, Sarah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Gabe in Menominee. Hello.
Hello. I'm a photographer, and I'm wondering what's the difference between a high index lens and a medium. I made the mistake of getting a cheaper medium index lens, and then it seemed like I couldn't see as well, and also had problems with night vision. I haven't been able to get a good answer about this, so I'm just kind of wondering.
Well, if you're a photographer, you probably know what chromatic aberration is. And in the simplest way, light bends, white light that you get from outdoors or the sun or whatever, is made up of many different colors. It looks white to our eye, but it's many different colors. And when it goes through a lens, each color will be bent a little bit different. And that's why you can take a prism and take sunlight and shine it on the wall, and you can see
the spectrum, you know, the Roy G. Biv colors of the rainbow. Now, different high-index materials have different amounts of chromatic aberration. And some people, not all, but some people with a high prescription, and especially at night, can be affected by that chromatic aberration that might come through the lens. And there's, as a general rule, the higher the index, the more chromatic aberration. But it's not always the case. It's usually the case. So there are some specialty materials that have a lower chromatic aberration, so less problem, and they are generally more expensive. Now, for the average person, it's probably not necessary. It doesn't make much difference. But if you're being bothered by it, that's probably what it is. And again, if you're a photographer, do a little Googling on chromatic aberration, and you'll probably find some information you might find interesting.
Mm, there you go.
Thank you for your help.
Yeah, thanks, Good Gabe, luck. For calling. Augie in Sherwood. Hello.
Hi. I presently wear bifocal lenses, and the last time I had a prescription change, the optician was trying to convince me that progressive lenses wouldn't be a good idea. I had tried progressive lenses, about 10 years ago, and I couldn't find, I had trouble finding that spot. And I wonder, under what circumstances are progressive lenses an advantage?
I am a very, very strong proponent of progressive lenses. I wear them myself, and everybody that I ever help get glasses, I direct them that way. That being said, there's a few people that just don't like to deal with that, and they want a pair of bifocals, and that's fine. That's why they still make them. A couple things in 10 years. 10 years ago, they had some good progressive lenses, but they've got some that are a lot better today. So the actual technology has improved. But one thing that's very, very critical is the fitting of that lens. And the person that does the measuring of your face and the alignment of those lenses, they have to be presented in front of your eyes correctly. So in other words, the distance between the lenses has to be exactly correct. How far they're in the frame up and down has to be exactly correct. They also need to be close to your face. People that wear their glasses down the end of their nose can have problems with progressive lenses. They have to be brought up tight to your face. There needs to be a little bit of what they call face wrap, where if you looked at the frame from above, it curves a little bit to follow your face. And then there's also something called panoscopic tilt, which means that the bottom of the lens needs to be tipped in a little bit toward the face. Now, all of those are known to every good dispenser. They would give you the same list I just told you. And when they adjusted that pair of glasses, they would adjust it to take advantage of all of those. So if 10 years ago you had a problem, you might have had an inferior product to begin with, or any one of these things I've mentioned may or may not have been taken care of correctly. So my advice would be get a progressive, make sure they fit you and take good care in doing that, make sure they align it properly, and if you're not happy, nearly every one of the manufacturers has a money-back guarantee on progressive lenses, so you give it a try, and if it doesn't work, they usually stand behind it and will make you a pair of bifocals and send you out the door.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. We had, we had a caller from Cottage Grove who was told that a particular super thin lens was not available for her prescription, but when she went to a different eyewear dispensary, they said no problem. So just sort of going back to the earlier caller, depends on who you use as a supplier, so check around. And a Facebook question from Jen, who says, I have extremely bad vision, minus 8.5 each eye. My eyeglasses are always way expensive to the point where insurance doesn't hardly cover it all. And she wonders why about the cost. What extra things do they have to do to create her lenses as opposed to somebody else's?
Well, if they, the difference between, let's say, if it's a spherical lens, between a minus 8 and maybe an everyday lens, which would be a minus 1, they do need to begin with a much thicker lens blank, because a high minus lens like that is maybe a millimeter or two in the center, but the edges could be 5, 6, 7 millimeters, depending on how big the frame is. So they need to start off with a bigger lens, a thicker lens. They also need to grind it more, I shouldn't say more accurately, but it's harder to grind a steeper curve than it is a flatter curve. And then the edging and handling it. So there are some costs specifically related to a thicker, higher prescription lens that is involved. Now, that being said, when people tell me that they think they're paying too much for glasses, particularly if they're single vision, it sounds like this person has single vision lenses. A lot of doctors and retail outlets have special package pricing that they have. And if it's really an issue, be frank with the people, talk to them, say, I can't afford or I don't want to afford to pay a lot. What can you do? Do you have a special package? Is there any kind of a thing you can do? And oftentimes it's a combination of a common frame that's not quite as expensive, and then a particular lens material, or some of the manufacturers have special pricing on certain combinations as well. So don't be afraid to ask for a better deal, and you could do that before you got there. Call them and ask them if they have a package price or something like that.
When I bought my glasses, it was a couple times ago now. I kept the lenses, I kept the glasses themselves, and just got new lenses. And I don't know if I saved a lot, but I had spent quite a bit of money on the glasses.
That's
to begin.
A very good, Larry. That's a very good strategy. And if you buy a good frame the first time, sometimes it can be used for multiple times that you have a prescription. If some frames today are very light duty and more disposable, but if you buy a good frame one time, you may be able to use it over a couple prescriptions, and that is a good way to extend it. And very often, the frame is more than half the price of a pair of glasses.
Yeah, these frames were really expensive at the time, but now I'm going to use them. I'll have to change. I have to get new glasses again in not too far distant future, and I'm going to use them again. They're in fine shape, so why not?
That's a good strategy.
John, in Oshkosh, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Hi. I was just wondering your comments on ordering glasses online. Some of my coworkers have been sort of nudging me in that direction, and I was just wondering about it.
I've been asked that question on the show in the past, and I have an answer that I used then and I'll use now. I don't know how that works, because there's measurements that need to be taken, and in almost all cases, the frame needs to be actually put on a face and adjusted accordingly and make sure it works for them. I do know that there's people that have told me that they've been successful with doing this online, but I just... To find a frame that fits properly, and the sizes are not consistent. If I wear, for example, a 54-18 front in one style, it doesn't equate to a 54-18 in another style. They just don't work that way. So number one, I don't know if I can get a frame that would be proper, but let's say I was able to find a frame, then you still need to be fit for the vertical distance and the horizontal distance, and the temples need to be adjusted. And I just don't know how that can be done via the internet or mail order. It just doesn't compute to me.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, John. And Fran in Evansville. Hi.
Hi. My question is, why does it never seem to be as good an improvement to your eyesight when you get a new prescription as the equipment gave you in the office? The glasses just don't measure up.
Yeah.
You think you saw better in the doctor's office than you do when you had your glasses.
Yeah.
One of the things that it might be is the circumstances in the doctor's office, where you have the object you see on the wall is a very well lit in a dark office. I would you know, I guess the only thing I could think of, if that's your experience, is if you had that pair of glasses and go back into the doctor's office and, you know, under the same circumstances. Generally speaking, when people have told me in my own experiences, it seems to be the same, you know, relatively the same. So I'm guessing that it's the environment that you're in that you notice that.
That I do notice lately that I never seemed to notice earlier in my life, and that is that light, I can see the glass. I'm getting light from the back in through the side of my lenses, and I can see the glass.
Do you have an anti-reflection coating on your lenses?
Yes.
You do have an anti-reflection coating on them, and you still see that.
Are you sure you have an anti-reflection coating?
Yeah, the anti-reflection coating is a remarkable product. The one thing that can happen sometimes, even with an anti-reflection coating, if the lenses aren't presented in front of the eye in exactly the right way, then if you have a light from behind, I know that some people, like, they'll be watching TV and they've got a reading light or something just in the wrong spot. And it causes a reflection that comes back, and that requires moving the light or tipping the lenses a little bit different to keep that from happening. But generally, if you've got the answer to that problem is an anti-reflection coating, and it's really quite remarkable how well they work.
Fran, thank you for calling. And Jim, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
I'd be very happy to, Larry.
Oh, thanks so much. Jim LaLuzerne, our guest today, he was president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world. He knows an awful lot about glasses. Great to have him with us. He'll be back. Tomorrow we'll take a look at the 40th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.